Good evening, everyone. It is time for us to begin our evening service. Before we do so, I'll go ahead and read the announcements for the upcoming week. Wednesday the 9th. Is that Missouri? Is that Missouri? Did I? Okay, then don't come here. That'd be important. Yeah, down there. Yeah, Church of Christ. Yeah, Temple Lot. So if you show up here and there's no one here, that's the reason. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as once again we'd have opportunity to assemble ourselves together before the unbended knee in thy house, we would do so giving thanks for a continuous outpouring of thy goodness, thy blessings. We do come before you asking your forgiveness for our sins and shortcomings and praying that your Spirit might be here in this service in abundance, that you'd pour your Spirit out upon each that's come to attend and to hear thy word. And we lift up before thee at this time our brother Ken and pray that even now you be pouring your Spirit out upon him, giving him inspiration, wisdom, understanding of Scriptures, bringing to his remembrance those things that you desire for us to receive this night. Praying that you'd help us that we'd put aside the cares, the concerns, and the clutter of life, that we would be able to open our hearts and minds to receive that message this night. We know that there's many names and needs that we have and pray that you'd be attentive to each. We pray that you'd be with the Ferrier children and their sickness at this time, that you would bless them and ease the concerns of their parents, and pray that you would continue to be with those other names and needs that we have brought before thee. Be with those who are traveling and will be traveling for the reunion, and we just trust these things and this service and your watch care, and we do ask and pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, we will now be blessed with a special. Beautiful song. I ask now that you try as best as you can to put aside the cares and the concerns of life and open up your hearts and mind that we might this night receive the words of inspiration and edification for our lives. I know that our brother's taking the time to prepare himself, and I ask now that you take a moment to prepare yourself, that we'd open ourselves up, that we could receive the words and the inspirations of life this night. I give to you our brother and elder Ken Orr.
Thank you, Glenn. I would appreciate your prayers this evening. Perhaps more than any other time that I've stood behind this desk, I feel the burden of the word and feel the weaknesses of the flesh. I feel the Lord has given me a message that I know in my humanness would be difficult. I'd like to thank Glenn for his sermon this morning. Went along with some of the thoughts I had. His sermon answered some of the prayers that I've been putting to the Lord concerning the Church of Christ. You know, he talked about to be mature Christians. And really, he was talking about the heart, talking about the mind. He brought out 5 points this morning. He said we need to be positive under pressure, need to be sensitive to the needs of others, need to master our tongue, be a peacemaker, not a troublemaker, and be patient and prayerful. All matters of the heart. So that's really where our true Christianity lies. It's within us. Lies within us where God will judge our hearts. Will judge our thoughts, will judge our desires, will judge our motives. Will judge the words that we've spoken. Will judge the thoughts that we've had. As I was preparing for this sermon, actually last Sunday when our brother Dwayne was preaching, is when the thoughts started to come to me. And this morning as I was kneeling in prayer and as I was going over some scriptures, I felt that the Lord placed upon me some thoughts, some scriptures. And as they came, I was a little fearful. I'll be honest with you, I was a little fearful. So I felt impressed upon my heart to be a voice of warning to our people. In 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at the 17th verse. For the time has come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. As I was preparing this morning, great conviction came upon me concerning this scripture, that God's judgment of His church in these latter days has begun. That God is going to prove His people. He's going to sift our hearts to see who is truly His. The judgment will begin here at the house of God. That He will sift our hearts, that He will test us. He will try us, He will prove us to see who we really are. Some time ago, in a conversation with Brother Joel, we were talking about the condition of the church and God's working with His people and just different various things, you know, and he made a statement, and I'm not exactly sure the exact words, but he made a statement that we're lazy Christians. Yeah. We're Christians when it's convenient. We're righteous when it's convenient. If things are going our way and things are going well and life is easy, it's easy to be righteous. But when we have adversity in our life, when we have trials, when we have temptations and tribulations, that's the time. That's the time when it's difficult. When it's difficult. Sometimes we choose. We choose the terms and the place and the time to be righteous. But we have to be righteous continuously. You know, verse 18, if the righteous scarcely be saved. He was talking to the church of Christ. That's who he was addressing. He was addressing the members of the church of Christ. Talking about the judgment that would begin at the house of God. And the righteous, those who he was speaking to, those who had taken upon them the name of Christ, entered into the waters of baptism, made that covenant, made that commitment to serve the Lord, if we scarcely be saved. You know, I'm mindful of the parable of the 10 virgins. Speaking to the body of Christ. You know, and all virgins, all 10, slumbered and slept. Every one of us, we're not as alert as we should be. We're not as diligent as we should be. We all slumbered and slept. And then, when the cry went out that the bridegroom is coming, we rose. Those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the wise had oil. But the foolish had none. And the foolish couldn't buy. They couldn't go out and buy it. They tried. They went and they tried. They were out searching for that spirit, for that righteousness. But while they were gone, the Lord came and closed the door. It's interesting in the Scripture. Whenever there's a judgment, whenever there's a finality to a situation, it's the Lord that closes the door. Noah and the ark. It was the Lord who closed the door. The 10 virgins. It was the Lord who closed the door. We would have the tendency to hear the cries of the people and to open the door, to have compassion. But we can't. Noah couldn't open that door of the ark to let his family in. We cannot open the door to let those who the Lord locks out. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Time has come that we must fully and completely recognize that there is no compromise with God. There's no gray. We will be held accountable. If we are not walking according to the law and the commandments of our Creator, we will be held accountable. We can try and justify the Scriptures. We can try and wrestle the Scriptures. We can try to make them fit what we want. We can do anything we want. But we will be held accountable if we live wrongly. First Corinthians, the 4th chapter, in the 5th verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. He's going to make manifest the counsels of our heart, the inner thoughts, those secret desires. Counsels. Dictionary says it's private, guarded thoughts or opinion. Those private thoughts that we have, those guarded thoughts that we have, those opinions that we have that are deep within us, deep within our hearts, deep within our minds, deep within our souls, it's going to make them manifest. It's going to shout them from the housetop. God is searching. He's searching the hearts and the minds of His people. we'll be judged as much on our thoughts, on our desires, as we will on our actions. You know, only me. I'm the only one that can look within my heart, if I'm honest with myself. You're the only one that can look within your heart. What lies there? What lies within our hearts? Do we harbor anger? Do we harbor jealousy? Do we harbor resentment? Does evil lie within our hearts? Are we willing to yield totally and completely to God? You know, we all have our own thoughts. We all have our own desires. We all have what we'd like to happen. You know, we go to God, and there's nothing wrong with going to God and saying, here's how I feel. This is what I would like to happen. This is, you know, if I could have my will and my way, this is what I want. And perhaps it's right. But you know, if we're not willing to accept that we may be wrong, if we're not willing to yield completely to the counsel of God, to His leading, if we're not willing to be completely humble, this means setting aside our own thoughts, our own desires, our own pride, willing to do whatever God wants us to do. If we're not in that attitude when we approach the Lord, not willing to set aside our preconceived ideas, our preconceived notions, our emotions, our feelings, our desires, if we're not willing to set those aside, then our hearts are not right before God. Satan whispers in our ear. He places thoughts within our hearts, within our minds. Oh, how he worms his way in, how he wiggles his way in. He doesn't need much room. He doesn't need that door to be opened very far to come in and to tempt us and to lead us astray. You know, we have a temptation, and we have a plan of action, and I hope you do. If you have a temptation in your life, something that troubles you or something that would cause you to go astray, I hope that you have a plan. That you have a plan of how you can overcome that. Things you may have to avoid, or places you may have to not go, or things you may need to change. Then Satan starts to whisper in our ear. He places doubts, he places fears. It's okay. Once, only once. It's not going to hurt. It's okay to do it. God will forgive you. Or just do it later. You don't have to do it right now. Put it off. Do it tomorrow. Do it later. How many of us have had that? You know, I'm late for work, and the kids are being terrible this morning, and the car won't start. You know, I don't have time to pray. I don't have time. I'll do it on the way to work, or I'll take time at break, or at lunchtime, or this evening. How many times have we done that and find that the next day is upon us and we haven't prayed? It got away on us. How many times do we yield to the thought, I don't need to go to church? You know, I'm tired tonight, or I don't feel comfortable there, or so-and-so is upset with me, and all sorts of things that come into our heart and our mind. It's more important that I do this or do that. That's Satan whispering in our ear. If we have to get up on Sunday morning and decide whether we're going to church or not, if we have to decide Sunday night if we're going to church or not, if we have to decide on Wednesday we're going to church or not, then Satan is in our minds and in our hearts and leading us away. If we have the thought that something else is more important than coming and and associating with my brothers and sisters and hearing the Word of God and hearing testimonies and lifting our voice in song and prayer, if we think that other things are more important than Satan has a hold on our hearts. The world, if we allow it, has a great hold on the body of Christ. On every side, you can't walk outside the doors of this church without on every side things that would lead us away from God. And the world will only lead you away. The world will never lead you to God. It will only lead you away. The Lord will lead you to God. The world will lead you away. You know, Satan desires. He desires to sift us. He desires to put us on trial. He desires to find our weakness. That's what he's doing when he desires to sift you as wheat. He's demanding you for trial. He wants to put you on trial. He wants to look in your heart, look in your mind, and see your weaknesses. Find those things that can destroy our souls. And Satan doesn't work in the open. He works in secret. He works behind closed doors. He sets those traps for us. You know, what are the two things that are necessary for a trap to work? If you're a hunter and you're setting a trap, what do you have to do? First of all, you have to hide it. You can't just put it out in plain sight. You have to kind of camouflage the trap so it's not obvious. That's what Satan does. He hides it. The trap is hidden. It's hidden. It's not obvious. It's not an obvious trap. It's kind of hidden. And once you've hidden that trap and you've got it set, then you have to bait it. You have to put some bait on there that it will attract whatever you're after. That's what Satan does. He puts the bait on that trap to attract us. Maybe different for Hubert or for me or for Pat. It'll be a different temptation. It'll be a different bait. But that's what he does. And he's going to go after our weakness. He's going to use our fears. He's going to use our desires. He's going to use our emotions. He's going to use our feelings to lead us. He's going to use our pride to lead us. You ever notice when you read, especially in the Book of Mormon, that it talks about the downfall of the Church of Christ. The church was never, ever destroyed from without. Never. Church is only destroyed from within. After 200 years of perfect peace and harmony, what was the cause of the downfall of the Church of Christ? What was the first thing that raised its ugly head? Pride. Pride rose its head. We began to feel superior above one another. Our own thoughts, our own desires, not willing to yield. That was the beginning of the downfall. Church of Christ was always destroyed from within. We go into the world and we rub shoulders with all sorts of people. We don't know. We work with people. We go to the grocery store. We go to the department store, whatever. And we rub shoulders with probably hundreds of people a week. We don't know what kind of lives they live. We don't know who they are. But sometimes we befriend them, perhaps. Especially if you're working with people. You work with them, you begin visiting, you find out quite a bit about them. What they're like. Things they like to do, the places they like to go. And if we allow it, they can influence our thinking. They can influence our minds, our desires. You ever notice sometimes, just out of the blue, you'd be working with somebody, haven't talked to them for weeks. You'd just say hi to them on the elevator or in the stairway or whatever. And all of a sudden, they'll stop you and say, guess where I'm going tonight? You know, And it's some stupid place that I don't want to go. I don't want to hear about it. But for some reason, they want to tell me about it. Satan there to kind of influence us. And sometimes we bring the world into our home. We can bring the world into our home through books or magazines or newspapers even. Through the television. Movies we rent. At pay-per-view, through the movies you rent on the internet, cable. We may think that we're clean. I remember one time in Missouri, staying at a brother and sister's on the land there where several of our brothers and sisters live, and I went for a walk one morning. And I was going to go one way, and there was this big old ferocious dog, and I didn't know if he was friendly or not friendly, and I was in no mood to find out, so I went the other way. And as I was walking up the hill and then started down the other side, there was some construction there. There was some road crew. A road crew was doing some work on the road, and there was water and there, a little bit of mud. And I, you know, I looked at that, and I said, well, you know, I had my church clothes on, my church shoes and stuff, and kind of slippery. And I was debating whether to go or not, but I could see where I could kind of walk around. So I did. But you know, no matter how careful I was, guess what? I got some mud on my shoes. No matter how careful we are in life, sometimes we get a little bit of mud on our shoes. A little bit of the world on our shoes. You know, and I cleaned my shoes off. I went back to where I was staying. I cleaned my shoes off and I scrubbed them on the grass and I tried to clean them off, but you know, when I got to the door, I looked at the bottom of my shoe, there's a little bit of mud. I went inside and I took them off at the door, you know, but sometimes we do that. We think we got it all off. We think we've left the world, the influences outside our home, but we bring a little bit of mud. And that's all that Satan needs. Just a little bit of mud. Scripture in Matthew 15, verse 8. 15th chapter of Matthew, verse 8. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. I'll be honest with you. I've had to go to the Lord and see if this scripture applies to me. Do I honor Him with my mouth and my lips? But with my heart? Is my heart far away or is my heart close to God? I hope every one of us asks ourselves that question. Are our hearts close to God or are we out there in the world? Are we out there in the world? Are the things of the world more important than being here? Are the things of the world more important than the Scriptures? Are the things of the world controlling our lives? Paul says we have to be in the world. You've got to make a living. You got to buy groceries. You got to buy clothes. You got to do these things. He said you got to be in the world, but not to be part of it. Let's not let the people of the world and the temptations of the world and of the flesh be part of us. Our hearts have to be close to God. We have to be righteous. Sometimes we think we can get away with it. We honestly think that we can get away with sin. Ezekiel 33, verse 12. Chapter 33, verse 12. Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter, the 12th verse. Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. Our righteousness will not save us if we turn away. Doesn't matter how many good deeds we've done. Doesn't matter how many years of service we have in the labors for the Lord. If we die in our unrighteousness, it won't matter. Will not matter. Luke chapter 21, verse 34. Luke 21, 34. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. Surfeiting, excess. Be careful. Take heed. Be careful, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with excess. Excess. The cares of life. You know, that drunkenness is not just speaking of alcohol. That drunkenness is speaking with the desires of life, the pleasures of life, the lusts of the flesh. Don't be overcharged. Don't be all consumed with the cares of this world. The cares of this world will choke out the word that lies within us. Thirty-fifth verse, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Watch and pray. Be alert. Be mindful. Be wary. Don't sleep. Are we ready to meet God? Somebody said to God, He's going to come at 7 o'clock. Are we ready? Are we ready to meet God? You know, we talk quite a bit sometimes about, well, we think that there's 15 years left or 25 years left or 30 years left. Makes me a little uneasy. I'll be honest with you. It makes me a little uneasy when we start talking about, well, we got so many years before the Lord returns. It kind of gives us a sense of false security. Well, I got 15 years. I got 20 years to prepare. He may come in 15. He may come in 25. He may come to one of us tomorrow. We may be on the road and get hit by a car and we meet our Maker tomorrow. We don't have 25 years. We don't have 5 years. We don't have a week. Are we ready to meet God? Are we ready to serve Him? Are we ready to serve God no matter what? Are we ready to set aside our personal ambitions, our personal goals? Are we willing to set aside our conveniences, our comfort zone to serve God? Are we ready? Are we ready to yield to God? Are we ready to be humble? Are we ready to be completely, totally humble? Are we ready to hear the Lord's voice? Are we ready to hear it? Have we done the things in the past that the Lord has told us? Or are we still procrastinating? Are we ready for the Lord to speak to us? Can we expect Him to speak to us? You know, our brother Glenn this morning mentioned, you know, the reunion is soon upon us. And are we prepared? Are we ready for this? Are we? Are we ready to come to this reunion expecting the Lord to speak to us? Yeah, we have a vacancy in the quorum. And I don't know your private prayer, so, and I expect a lot of people offer a lot of prayers. But you know, in prayer and testimony services and sacrament services, I don't hear hardly any prayers to fill the vacancy in the quorum of apostles. I don't hear it. Shame on us. How do we expect the Lord to fill that vacancy if we don't petition Him? If we don't. We hear the cry, but the harvest is ripe and the laborers are few. How many prayers do you hear to call elders and priests and teachers into the ministry? I don't hear many. I'm guilty. I don't pray for it as I should. I'm guilty. That should be first and foremost on our lips, on our prayer. Are we ready to hear? Are our hearts right before God that He can speak to us? That He can say, "Thus saith the Lord." Are we ready to obey? Are we ready to obey the Word of God? Are we ready for the reunion? Are we ready? Are we ready to bring a portion of the Spirit with us? You know, sometimes we come to the reunion and we come and we want the Spirit. We pray that the Spirit is here. But sometimes we don't do our part to bring a portion of that Spirit with us. We all should bring a little portion, perhaps, of that Spirit with us. And when we meet together, God will be there. God should be here when we walk in the door. Because we have prepared. We've prayed. We're going to fast on Wednesday. I hope you've been fasting before this. I hope you've been praying. I hope you've been preparing for this reunion. I hope you've been putting things out of your life, concentrating on hearing God. No, it's wonderful. We're going to see our brothers and our sisters. We're going to have a good time. We're going to have a good time. But I want to have a good time in our prayer services. I want to have a good time in our sacrament service. I want the Spirit of the Lord to be here, and I want Him to talk to us. I want Him to direct us, to guide us, to chastise us if that's what's necessary. Are we ready to hear that voice? Are we ready to be chastised? Are we ready to be told we're wrong? Are we willing to yield? Are we willing to submit ourselves to God and say, "Okay, I messed up"? Second Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. The Lord knows us. He knows who is truly His and who isn't. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Simple statement. Simple statement. Let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Depart from sin. Depart from that which is opposite of God. We don't have time. I'll be honest with you, brothers and sisters, we do not have time to partake of the world. We don't have time. We don't have time. There's too much to do. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. That house He's talking about is me. Our individual lives, not the house of God. I believe it's us. Our own individual houses. And inside us lies these things. Some to bring honor and praise. There's also some He compares to wood and stubble. Dishonor. We're to purge those things from our hearts and our minds that would bring dishonor to God. That we can be a vessel that can be used, that will bring honor to our Savior. The warning to the Church of Christ, I think, is plain. The warning is plain. It says, "And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes." If we know the Lord's will and we don't do it, we're going to be more accountable than someone who doesn't know. Too much has been given, much is required. The Lord has given us everything. He's given us salvation. He's given us His Spirit. He's given us His gospel. He's given us and given us and given. Are we doing the Lord's will? Are we preparing ourselves? The Spirit of God that Christ has given us at our fingertips, He's there for us. Are we prepared to use Him? Can He use us to the fullest extent? Do we receive the bounty from His table, or just do we receive the scraps, the little scraps that He throws to us once in a while? We have so much more that we can receive. We have available within the Church of Christ, power of the universe. The power of the universe. The time is now to prepare. The time is to prepare. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Preparation. Readiness. A firm footing. The time is now to be ready to have a firm footing. You know, like I was walking down that road in Missouri and the little bit of mud and water, my feet were not sure. I slipped a little bit. But we're to be on a strong and a sure foundation. Have the right shoes. Shoes of the gospel of Christ. God wants us to be in His presence. That's His goal for us. That's His desire. That's what He wants. God wants us to be in His presence. Guess what Satan wants? Satan wants us to be separated from God. That's his purpose. That's his goal. He wants us to be separated, and he will do everything in his power to separate us from God. He wants us to turn from the world. He wants us to turn from our own selfish ambitions, our own selfish aims, and to focus on Him and to do His will. We grow intellectually by learning. That's how we grow intellectually. We learn. We grow spiritually by obedience. That's how we grow spiritually. We grow spiritually by obedience. If we're not obedient, we don't grow. So I was thankful. I wasn't sure where to end this sermon, where to go with it. But Glenn kind of gave us an end. To be mature Christians. That's our goal. That's our purpose. That's what God wants us to be, mature Christians. He doesn't want us dangling out there in the world. He doesn't want us partaking of the world. He doesn't want our thoughts and our desires to be far from Him. He wants us to give our whole lives. Our thoughts, our desires, our talents, our actions. the strength of our youth. He wants that. I pray that God will bless us in our endeavor to serve Him. That as we strive to serve Him, as we go through this life, and as God proves us, that we'll be equal to the task before us, that we'll be equal to that proving, that He will find us true and righteous servants in His hand. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ken. We'll close this evening's service with the use of hymn number 27, A Parting Blessing, number 27. And if you'd stand as we sing, please. If you bow your heads. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are indeed thankful for this day and this time that we've had to be able to spend here. As we are prepared to depart from thy house, we pray that you would be attentive to those names, those needs that we have brought before thee this day. Pray that you'd go with us each throughout this week and our responsibilities, whether in the home, the workplace, or school, that you'd watch over us and shield us from temptation and constantly be with us. We do pray that you would be with the upcoming reunion and everyone in their travels. Especially, we pray that you might help us. Pray that you'd give us the strength to recognize those things in our lives that do separate us from thee. And pray that you grant us the strength to cast them aside and that we'd be able to open our lives up and be able to have thy spirit in abundance here, yes, but particularly in the reunion, but in our lives in general. And so, Father, we do pray that you would be with us in this, and we do ask and pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.